If you wish to reflect credit upon your parents, accomplish more than they did, solve problems that they could not understand, and build better than they knew. Robert Greene Ingersoll.
Inconceivable! Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
Now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a wonderful week.
Yep, hopefully they did.
I had a pretty good week.
Did you now?
Yes, I did.
Okay, if you say so.
We're going to get into some of the pretty good week later on in the news.
Oh, okay. I'm like, really? Where was I?
Yeah.
Anyways, your point.
I have Twitterverse.
Yes, we usually go there, but it looks like you have quite a bit this time.
I do have quite a bit this
time. And I bet you're extremely ecstatic about
it. I'm excited about my new Twitterers.
That's good.
So we got HD Snake, Kevin and Benedict, which is a pretty cool podcast, by the way, so go check it out. Benjamin Fitzpatrick, Hazel Battle, Johnny Drive-By, Andy Stout, Gonna Go For It, Mind the Gap, Draco, Roderick Chambers, Glenn Bateman, Atheist Teacup, Jody Bradley, Susan Joshi, and Lee Elrod.
I think you may have not butchered their names today.
Probably not. Those are pretty easy names.
So, we like Twitters.
We do.
Yes.
Yes.
And we even have voicemail this week as well.
We do have a voicemail.
Yes, we do.
So, let me pull that up.
All righty.
Hello. This is Jonathan Ariola. Just heard the second to last episode. And talking about how maybe we're looking at this whole investigation and things are going to catalyze and explode and all this is going to happen. I'm really hopeful. I'm not sure I agree with your conclusion about it. The reason why, for me, the election as it was so shocking was the concept that meant that more than half the people are close to it. I know Electoral College basically ain't good at the thought brains. And that's not going to change with 3 to 4 years of time. It's not going to just get better when it comes to mentality. I mean, the fact that there's this group who's throwing a fit that you kill Nazis in a video game, what the fuck? I mean, yeah. Anyway, I don't think that the zeitgeist or the sentimentality of isolationist racistness has gone away. If anything, it'll grow up a bit. It'll be less stupid and childish and be more serious and mechanized. And I think that the next election will be much worse because it won't be so ridiculous and overt. It'll be more dog whistle style, lion seals stealing, where the person is being like overtly kind and courteous to the point of ridiculousness because they're being a douchebag, something like that. I really think it's going to get worse rather than better. And I wish that proving involvement with all of this stuff would make a difference, but I don't think it will. And it's a terrifying thought for me to think about that the next one will be worse, because the thing that makes me concerned the most is that we have a crazy but ineffective person in office. What if we just have a horrible person who is effective? That I think. Thanks for the show, as always.
That's a very good voicemail.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, I like the ending because that really is a scary thought. I mean,
yeah.
Someone who is horrible but effective, that's a really good point.
Yeah, that's going to
that
be
would
scary.
Suck royally.
Yeah, like Pence.
Well, still, regardless, you know, next go around. Hopefully it's not going to be worse than what the hell we're in right now, but then again, it's possible.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, but yeah, it's totally possible.
So.
Yes, dear.
We do have an update.
Do
from
we now?
Something on last week's show.
Do we now?
I remember we talked about that tax change that would essentially remove the Johnson Amendment for churches only.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the GOP went in, they figured it just was discriminatory.
Shocking.
So they just said, we'll remove it for all 501c3s.
What?
Yeah. It doesn't really help.
No.
That's just as bad. It still allows the same thing to happen.
So that's what they're going to go with?
That's the last I heard.
So they're still getting rid of the Johnson Amendment, but for everyone instead of just particular group.
Right.
You kind of knew that was coming, though, didn't you?
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, that way they still get what they want.
Yeah, I know.
But so that, you know, it's not raising a fuss, they say, oh, well, it's for everyone. Party. Yeah.
I don't know. It's insane.
Yeah, that's not going to end well.
Speaking of insane.
Okay, segue.
This story I've called Getting It Up for Jesus.
That's inappropriate.
Oh, it's very appropriate.
Okay. Mine's going so many places. Go ahead.
And it will. Just wait. Incredible Happenings ministry leader Paseko Maboro. I'm not even trying that last name.
That wasn't the last name?
No, that's his middle-ish
name. That's his Nick-ish name.
Maboro. Okay. Yes. Watched in shock as a Joburg couple he prayed for to have to regain. Oh, Jesus
Start
Christ.
Start the hell over because damn, you butchered that.
He watched in shock as a Joburg couple he prayed for to regain his libido bonked in front of him and his camera crew at their Zonke home last month. This is in South Africa, by the way.
Okay, so you butchered the crap out of that. Yes. So translate that in English now.
Let's just go through the story.
Well, wait a minute.
So he was a little bit shocked when he prayed to have the libido of the...
of this person.
The couple.
Fixed,
right?
And oh, so it's just the libido. It's not a erectile dysfunction kind of thing?
I believe it's erectile dysfunction.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Anyway.
All right. Okay, go ahead. Continue.
So he confirmed that Joseph Chibangu and his wife,
sure
the Bizzle, shocked him and his crew when they made love in front of him after he helped them regain their libido, right? So it's the same thing. The Bizzle came to the church a while ago and complained that although she was blessed with 3 children and recently got a promotion at work, she was sex starved because her husband suffered from erectile dysfunction.
Starved. Syllables, starved. Babe.
Yeah.
Use syllables.
So,
okay.
It gets pretty interesting from here.
Oh, it's already weird, but
so
sure.
They suspected that jealous people might have conjured up an evil spirit or cast a bad spell in their bedroom.
Okay.
He says, I went there and entered their bedroom and asked them to put their hands on their private parts. After that, I prayed for them, and the husband immediately regained his erection.
I think the husband has different issues going on if that's what got him off.
Yeah. He asked the couple who was seated on the bed to get under the sheets so he and his film crew could film their testimony for the TV show.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, they had spent 4 months without having sex, and they said they were, quote, hungry.
Yeah. This is a really weird story. You do know this, right?
Well, it gets better. Maboro said that they filmed the couple giving his testimony, but blurred out the parts where their hands were playing with their private parts.
Keep going.
The Bizzle confirmed that Maboro saved her marriage.
Oh, boy.
After asking him at church to pray for us, he came to our house and he prayed with us. My husband got his erection back, and when he came back from outside to call a film crew our testimony, we were already busy having sex. We just couldn't wait, as it's been so long.
Really?
Really.
Okay. What is the point of this story?
So the point of this story is that he wants the television to air this testimony.
Oh, okay. So, and I'm assuming they're not.
They
and refused so he's not
to.
Happy about it.
Yes. But it just seemed interesting that his prayers.
Now, I'm telling you, I think the husband has some issues if this what's made it happen for him.
Yeah.
I guess you could say. Because obviously him and his wife alone wasn't doing it. But having a film crew, maybe having the priest there, maybe having people watch is his thing, you know, come on.
More power to you, whatever your thing
whatever,
is.
Whatever, but.
But don't.
Call it a miracle.
Don't claim it's a miracle, because Jesus ain't going to do it.
Oh, that's right. Not just a miracle. It's Jesus that helped get it up.
Yeah.
Wow, that is a bizarre freaking story.
I figured we needed something entertaining.
Oh, that's an opinion, but sure.
Okay, well, how about something better?
Yeah, okay.
A French woman seeking U.S. citizenship has filed a lawsuit for the removal of the phrase, so help me God, in the citizenship oath, arguing that it violates the First Amendment establishment clause.
Okay, I like that better.
Oh, French name, I can't say.
Oh, that's a big mouthful, but enunciate, use syllables.
Olga?
No, you don't have to try. It's her first name is Olga, we'll go with that.
Okay.
And then there's like four other names going behind
it. A French national and an atheist who has been in the United States since 2000. claim that the oath represents a violation of her secular convictions and makes it impossible for her to comfortably transition to citizenship.
I concur.
She says, by his very nature and earth, an oath that concludes, so help me God, is asserting that God exists. Mm-hmm. According to the current oath, accordingly, the current oath violates the first 10 words of the Bill of Rights, and to participate in a ceremony which violates that key portion of the United States Constitution is not supporting or defending the Constitution as the oath demands.
I agree completely.
Yeah.
I mean, it just makes sense. It's like, they don't require you to, when you go to court, to put your hand on the Bible and swear under God or something, right? They don't do that?
Out of that.
Yeah, because, I mean, I would have to, if they had me do it, I would literally have to say, I in good conscience can't do this because I don't believe in this crap.
Right. Lawsuit also claims that the appeal to God and the oath sends an ancillary messages to members of the audience that disbelieve that they are outsiders and not full members of the political community.
That disbelieve in God. You kind of skipped that part.
Yeah, I said that.
No, you didn't. You actually
I can roll
it.
The tape back.
Oh, you go right the hell ahead.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Anyway, so yeah, it makes those of us who don't believe in God feel like we're outsiders when that sort of thing happens. When you're supposed to take an oath, well, everybody else is in there saying, so help me God, and you're just standing there.
No, I totally agree with that. But at the same time, also, to say that when you don't believe and yet you're taking an oath, it just doesn't, it's not, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't sound right. It's like telling a lie and yet you're going for your citizenship, you know, that kind of a thing. So I do not think that should be in there whatsoever.
Well,
I mean, that's kind of the whole point of getting your citizenship. You come from different places, different backgrounds, different beliefs. Why the hell would you have in God, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't even make sense to me.
The Department of Homeland Security says that you don't have to say it. But still, if you're standing, because usually when you get your citizenship, you're in there with a lot of other people.
Right. The point is they need to change it to not have that in there.
Right. Because she even says they offered her the alternative, but she said it would make her feel
less
than a full new citizen if she doesn't take the full oath.
Right. It's kind of like the same concept of the little kids in school that tell them, well, they don't have to participate in this. They can just go stand in the hallway.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
They're no longer part of the class.
Right. And they're being pointed out, which, you know, that I mean, I'm getting off track totally, but it's that same
concept.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need in our oaths and our pledges and our everything, we don't need to inject religion into it.
Right. It's like stick a label on her and, you know, she has to wear this in order for, you know, them to know that she's not going to be saying this.
And we know that labeling of other religions is always a good idea.
Right.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran. And we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio vs. the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
All right, I got some really good news.
You keep saying this.
Well, Representative Jared Huffman, Democrat of California, one of the 9 members of Congress to not have an official religious label to his name, announced that he would embrace the label humanist.
Really?
Huffman added that he feels the labels non-religious and agnostic also apply to him.
Mm-hmm.
His announcement came with an endorsement from the Free Thought Equality Fund Pact, which is the political arm of the American Humanist Association.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He said, I'm honored by this endorsement because it recognizes and reinforces my efforts to ensure that everyone in this great, diverse country is treated with respect and dignity, regardless of their religious or non-religious views.
Wow, that's big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Today, more than ever, we must defend the religious liberty our founders enshrined in the First Amendment of the United States Constitution.
Now, imagine if everyone in those positions took that stance.
Yeah.
Equality.
Well, he's one of 435.
Yeah, but it's a start.
It is. He's technically the second one to do that. Representative Pete Stark. Right. Also out of California.
Oh, I kind of remember that.
Years ago,
yeah.
But he only did it. He did it and got reelected once, I think.
But it's, you know, a pebble in the glass, you know?
Yeah.
It's the beginnings.
It is. I encourage all our listeners to go to his Facebook page and like it and leave some kind words of encouragement. I'll have his Facebook page in the notes.
Yes, because I believe when they do, you know, stand up and do something like this in these positions, the more positive feedback they get, the more people that are out there who are contemplating doing it are going to be better able to stand up themselves, right, and get more people to do this so that you take the negativity away from it.
Yep.
I mean, God, could you imagine if we had more of that and less of the other crap?
Oh, yeah.
What a difference this country would be.
Yep.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
So we have a very, very special Potter this week.
Oh, do we now?
It is about our Perma Potter.
Oh, God, not again.
Former judge and Perma Potter, Roy Moore, was in the news again this week.
All right, before you continue, I'm interrupting your butt. We're going to stop talking about this guy after this for a while, right?
It depends.
You're giving me the no or not look.
No, we're not.
This is
my arch enemy. He is
my
nemesis.
God, it's so annoying. You might as well be talking about Trump this much because it's like, it's always the same thing.
I have to admit, I dislike this guy more than I dislike Trump. Mm. I know that's hard to believe.
Well, that's fine, but that's not my point. My point is that, you know, too much Trump, too much Roy Moore. You know, that kind of thing.
No more
Anyways.
Roy.
Very nice.
Anyway.
We're going to continue.
He's in the news again this week when five women alleged that he had relations with them in the 70s and early 80s. All of them were in their teens at the time, and Moore was in his 30s.
What a pig. Anyways.
One of them was 14.
Uh-huh.
So there's some information missing. There was a fifth one that came out after I wrote this.
You said five? Okay.
We're missing some of that information, but I'll see if I can stick it in there.
Uh-huh, sure.
The one that was 14 says that Moore offered to watch her while her mother was in court for a custody battle. He drove her up to his cabin and told her how pretty she was and kissed her.
Jesus,
uh-huh. On a second visit, she says he took off her shirt and pants and removed his clothes. He touched her over her bra and underpants, and she says, and guided her hand to touch him over his underwear.
Wait a minute. He took her stuff off?
Mm-hmm.
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 Yeah, well, not consensual. Continue.
This is corroborated by two of the victim's friends who said that she confided in them at the time that she was seeing a, quote, older man.
Oh, boy.
Moore has denied these allegations and says it's a political attack on him by the desperate Dems.
Seriously?
He, however, hasn't denied that he may have dated girls as young as 16 at the same time frame.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. In fact, during an interview with Sean Hannity, he said he would always ask the parents' permission before dating young girls.
Oh, why do I so doubt that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Continue.
Based on testimonies of more than 30 people, it is entirely plausible that he did this, given the habit of super pious to also be super hypocritical. Pretty sure that this is true, and I'm only surprised there aren't any male accusers yet.
Hmm.
Because he's super anti-gay.
Yeah. He has a fetish, obviously.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, I read some other stuff on this that's come out. Apparently, he was banned from the local mall for harassing young girls.
It's pretty bad if he's getting banned from the mall. I mean.
And a co-worker, when he was the assistant DA at the time, co-worker at DA's office said he knew that he dated young girls.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty common knowledge in the community that Roy Moore would date young girls. That's what I'm reading. But that, you know, Roy Moore is bad enough.
Uh-huh.
But what really got me are the people defending him.
That part I don't understand at all. I just don't.
So we've got two issues with the party.
Uh-huh.
Right? One side is running away, and the other side is supporting him. So I want to talk about the running away ones first.
Right.
At least the ones I had when I started writing this.
Uh-huh.
John McCain said the allegations against Roy Moore are deeply disturbing and disqualifying. He should immediately step aside and allow people of Alabama to elect a candidate they can be proud of.
I agree with that.
Well, my issue is, why would they be proud of him before this?
Well, that's, yeah.
Okay. Steve Daines, senator from Montana, said, I'm pulling my endorsement and support of Roy Moore for U.S. Senate.
Good.
Mike Lee, Senator from Utah said, having read the detailed descriptions of the incidents as well as the response from Judge Moore on his and his campaign, I can no longer endorse his candidacy for U.S. Senate. Add to that the Senate Republican fundraising arm mm-hmm. pulled their support. The Republican National Committee has now pulled their support.
He's going down.
He's going down. I mean, he's done.
Uh-huh.
And it's pretty much over for him. It's
yeah, but let me guess, he's not going to step down that easily.
No, he is going. He's going all the way.
Yeah.
And here's where it gets horrible.
Because well, it's not no, already.
I've got one more that's actually good. And it's from Mitt Romney, oddly enough.
Uh-huh.
He's specifically talking about Republicans who were saying, if this is true.
Uh-huh.
He says, innocent until proven guilty is for criminal convictions, not elections. I believe Lee Korfman, but this is... So, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, that's not the really interesting part. I think the most interesting part is how far some will go to defend him.
Yeah, that I don't understand at all. But anyways, go ahead.
So a reporter, Daniel Dale, started contacting local GOP officials to get their comments.
Oh, okay.
So Alabama County GOP, Marion County GOP chair David Hall said, it was 40 years ago. Really don't see the relevance of it.
What?
He was 32. She was supposedly 14. She's not saying that anything happened other than they kissed. That's bad enough.
Oh, my God. Anyways, that's just absurd. Who gives a flying F how freaking long ago it was?
Alabama Mobile.
It's Mobile, Alabama.
County GOP Chairman John Skipper says, it does not really surprise me. I think it's a typical Democrat ploy to discredit Judge Moore, a sincere, honest, trustworthy individual.
So he's saying that... well, she's a woman now, that she was lying.
Yes, they're saying she's lying. I've actually seen people who believe that the Washington Post went down there and started paying people to do this. I've actually seen that claim.
It's not like there's just one person making this claim.
Right.
There's five
with corroborating. With people that they told at the time. It was happening. They said, hey,
told someone, so there are other witnesses that can back up that witnesses. It was told. No, but the fact that it was told to someone else when it happened, not years later.
Right. 30 other people.
Which, wow, really? 30?
That's what the numbers are that I've read.
Uh-huh. But, so that makes it even more credible. But yeah, it's not like there's nothing to fall back with this either.
Right. So Alabama, Geneva County GOP Chairman Riley Siebenheiner says he doesn't believe the allegations are true, but if they're true, he won't support him. But at the same time, it's not forcible rape.
What?
He says, I know that 14-year-olds don't make good decisions.
Oh, okay, so...
So there's a reason why 18 should be the cutoff date for consent, not 16 as in Alabama.
Or 14.
Or
14. Which is not consensual anywhere.
Because 18-year-olds don't make good decisions.
No, they do not. In my opinion, I don't think 18 should be considered an adult either, but that's another issue that I've got. But what difference does it make if it's forcible or what? When they're a minor is an adult involved?
What is forcible rape?
I'm assuming aggressive? Rape is rape. What difference does it make?
Period.
Well, that's the only thing I can think is physically forcible is what they're going with is the only, you know, like violent.
Oh, so.
That's the only thing I can think of is what he's talking about. But it doesn't matter when they're a child with someone in their 30s. I mean, not even their 20s, their freaking 30s. No. I mean, as a teenager, especially a 14-year-old, oh my God, they're still tiny little kids, basically.
Yeah.
And their mindset is not there. And any adult can talk to them and say things to them and they don't quite understand. And they think that it's supposed to go this way and that this is okay and this is normal. And yet, you know, they don't know any different. And, you know, an adult is a view of authority to a young teenager. Right.
Especially someone who is actually an authority. Assistant DA is an authority figure.
Even more so. But all teenagers look at adults as authority figures, regardless of what their position is. They see them as authority figures and they don't question them. They just know that there's like this position that kids hold and adults hold.
Right.
And that's ridiculous.
Even a Breitbart editor got in on this, saying, quote, only one was legally problematic. All the others would have been of age at the time.
What, because they were 16?
Yeah, because they were. He kept going on of how it's not a crime, so therefore it's okay. Oh, I don't care. A 30-year-old and a 16-year-old, crime or not, is wrong.
Okay, 16 to 14. Not that much damn difference. Exactly. I am sorry. That is absolutely absurd. You're talking, what, a freshman versus maybe a sophomore or an early, not even a junior.
Maybe a junior.
Like a late 16. Sophomore, early junior. Yeah. Not much difference.
Yeah.
I mean, truly, a 16-year-old is not much different than a 14-year-old. And regardless, what, they're still kids. They're under the age of 18. What difference does it make? Agree.
But by far the worst is this excuse.
Uh-huh. Oh, this is funny.
Take Mary and Joseph. Mary was a teenager and Joseph was an adult carpenter. They became parents of Jesus, said by Alabama State Auditor Jim Ziegler. Quote, there's just nothing immoral or illegal here. Maybe just a little bit unusual.
Wow. Seriously, I didn't hear that ending quote part.
Yeah.
I heard the Jesus Mary crap. So,
one, if the story were even true, Mary and Joseph didn't consummate the marriage until much later.
Well, I was just going to say, they didn't do anything, remember?
Exactly, because, you know.
They had the alien impregnate her.
Yeah, and since, well, I guess there's no age gap since God has no age, so it's okay.
Sure, okay.
Infinity to 14.
But there's nothing immoral or illegal here? Are you kidding me?
Seriously. That's what he said.
And, you know, how do they ignore the fact that this 30-something-year-old is with any teenagers of any kind? Why are, regardless that's if 16 was the age of consent or not, why are they ignoring the fact?
That's my point. This whole thing is wrong.
He might as well have been 20-something with elementary school kids.
Exactly.
Because it's the same age gap.
It doesn't matter. It could be 20 with a 14-year-old.
I know. I don't understand that.
Adults and teenagers don't belong together.
No, they do not. But even more so with, you know, a 32-year-old man and a 14 or 16-year-old girl.
Exactly.
They're small children compared to someone who's twice their age. And mentally, they haven't developed yet. So I don't understand why they don't grasp the concept that there's something wrong with him. And the fact that he has a history of having issues with young teenage girls. I mean, come on. Do you know what it takes to get banned from the mall? And how creepy is that? This grown 30-something-year-old man walking around the mall harassing teenage girls? That's creepy.
Yeah.
If anything, his ass should have been, like, I don't know, picked up by the cops because this guy's being stalkery or creepy or something.
It was the 70s and they just didn't do that back then.
Yeah, whatever.
And that's another thing. They're saying it's excusable because it was an excusable
action. It was forever ago.
Yeah, it was so long ago and that's what they did back then. That doesn't excuse it.
That's bullshit because I am sorry. There was a lot of things that happened in all times way back when.
Right.
So you're telling me someone who was abused in the 50s who's now an adult shouldn't have, you know, say that was wrong of the adult who did that in the first place?
Well, you certainly wouldn't elect him to Senate, now would you?
Oh, sure. But that's what I mean. There is no statute of limitations when it comes
should
to that.
Should not be a statute of
limitations. I know legally, yes, there are.
Well, most
in some
states,
places.
Most states now don't have a statute of limitations. Some do.
Which makes no sense
to Alabama
me.
Was 3 years at the time. 3 years.
3 years? Seriously?
Yeah, you had 3 years to
And how does that work if you're a child and you're in this household where you're being abused and some are abused for years or decades?
Yep.
How the hell can you tell me that statute's going to run out and yet they were traumatized their whole childhood? They're
sometimes
not just going to come out and tell someone
immediately.
And that's
another thing. They're saying, why did it take so long for these women to come out to do this? Why now? It's weird timing. Because sometimes it takes decades to get to a point where you can even talk to somebody about this stuff. It's ridiculous that anybody would even use that excuse. They obviously have never known anybody that was traumatized or have never been themselves.
I don't know what to say to that.
It just pisses me off when people start using that as an excuse to say, well, this isn't credible because it took so long.
Obviously, they've never had it happen to themselves, and they don't know what it's like to be forced to do something against their will.
Exactly.
And then come out publicly in front of everyone.
Yeah.
And relive it again and again.
It's one thing to tell your therapist or to tell your friend.
That's hard.
Right. But to come out in public against a public figure who was well-respected in the community in general.
Right.
Right. I mean, no.
That's even harder because it's hard enough for them to do it in general, even to a therapist or even a friend for that matter. But to come out to someone who's holding such a public position.
Right.
And a powerful one, especially if you're young and the person was older. I mean, no. The statute of limitations. That's such a fucking crock.
Anyways.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that this is the last time we really have to do an in-depth on
Stupid Roy Head.
Moore, because if he gets elected, I'm going to keep going on him until he goes away. Once he goes away from public life, I'll never talk about him again.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes anyway, so it makes sense. But
I would prefer not to talk about him, period.
Oh, I freaking second that motion.
Anyway, with that being said, that's all the yakking I got.
I am good. I'm out.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Patreon page.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!
Think it'll work?
It would take him.
Bye-bye!